T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The sky is not falling, but the Dow is.
One word, Bitcoin. We're pork bellies.
I don't know about that. But the Dow closed, as you heard in Laura's news, down 831 points today. If you round up, it's 832.
Other than that, it was a good day.
Okay, so of course, a huge tumble like this makes us go, whoa, what the heck just happened? So joining us now is Jim Kahn, Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer with Wealth Enhancement Group. Jim, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jim.
Why do you guys only call me when the market's down? It's like no one ever calls me when it's sunny and the market's up. It's the only time anyone
tells
me
about
love.
It's a fair question.
It's tough. It's a tough life I have.
So, Jim, I mean, would you advise deep breaths? Is this a buying opportunity? We're tech stocks, and my sense is that tech stocks got the worst of this.
Well, tech stocks have really led the rally in the U.S. over the last couple of months, especially as we've seen some of these tech stocks go exponential. I mean, they've just gone straight up. If you look at the Netflix, the Amazon, the Facebooks, the Apples. So, when you start to look at the valuation on these names, they start to look a little bit stretched. And the question is, how much more growth do we need to see in the economy? How much more growth in earnings can we actually get out of these businesses in order to justify these valuations? Because the valuations imply these really high growth rates. And if we look at names like Netflix, which was down over 8% today, or Amazon, which was down over 6% today, or Apple, which was down over 4% today, I think that what the market is telling us is that there's a mismatch between the growth expectations for these companies and what's realistic in an environment where interest rates are now over 3%. And so that doesn't mean the world's ending. That doesn't mean we're headed for a recession. That doesn't even mean that the market won't recover in the next couple of weeks. But what it does mean is that these high-flying names are probably going to fly a little bit lower for a little bit longer.
But here's what I don't get. Why one day? Like, we get it that, things are going to correct. Oh, Netflix can't grow at this rate forever. But all of a sudden, one day, bam, you get hit down 100 or 831.
But VIX has been high, right? The instability measure has kind of been warning about something like this, right?
Well, that's true. The VIX has actually been moving up the last couple of days, but we've seen the VIX move up in conjunction with the market move down, and the VIX, or the level of fear in the market's been really low if you look at where it's been relative to sort of where that fear level has been historically.
Is that what VIX is? Because regular people like me don't know what that is.
Yeah, the VIX is just a measure of how much investors expect the market to go up and down over the next year. So when the VIX is low, they expect the market to kind of creep along without a lot of... Basically, the VIX tells you how likely your stomach is to turn. That's what the VIX is. So when the VIX is high, your stomach's doing somersaults. When the VIX is low, you're on a placid lake. So that's the VIX explanation.
Which makes this even more unexpected.
Which makes it very unexpected because the VIX has been so low. But like you were saying, though, it has been going up the last few days. This is a great question. This is one of the big questions of economics. Why does investor sentiment just turn on a dime and start to decline? Right? Why today? And there's no good reason about why today. And academics have studied this, and people in the industry have studied this. And the best explanation that I've ever heard is, if you could predict what day the market would fall on, it would have already fallen. And so it's just that surprise, that surprise element that allows the market to actually do what it does, that keeps everything moving. But there's nothing inherent, nothing happened today that we need to be afraid of, at least that I know about.
Today, fear trumped greed, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's a push-pull dynamic between fear and greed.
It's absolutely a push-pull between fear and greed. But what I would say is that for quite some time now, smart money has been getting beaten up. So if you look at all these big hedge funds, all the smartest guys, right. the smartest gals in the room have gotten crushed. And so what does that mean? That means that international stocks and emerging market stocks, which look really cheap and have great fundamentals, they've been getting walloped by the S&P 500. If you owned value stocks, which 84% of the time on a 10-year rolling basis since 1927 have outperformed growth stocks. You've been getting walloped. And today what we saw was that some of that smart money finally got it right. So those expensive stocks, well, they didn't do as well as those value stocks, those cheap stocks. International stocks, they didn't get hit quite as hard as U.S. domestic stocks. And so I think what we're seeing a little bit is that the greed instinct got such a strong hold on the market that the brain has been overridden. And so it's not necessarily fear and greed. It's just greed has overridden everything else. And today you kind of got a little bit more of that frontal lobe type thinking about what made sense. And that came into play in the market.
Jim, last question. I mean, the fundamentals, the American economy by most measures is doing really well. I mean, the sky is not falling. We had the big tax cut, companies putting most of that into stock buybacks. But even, you know, it's not just the 1%, because the labor market is so tight, wages are rising for just about all employees, maybe not as fast as they'd like, but a lot of people are seeing some improvement. Is this concern about tariffs? Is it concern about rising interest rates? Or do we know?
Well, I think all of the above. I mean, the thing that historically has caused expansion periods like this to end is when prices start to rise too fast, when we have inflation,
right.
And that causes the Federal Reserve to increase interest rates at a very fast rate, which then causes people to stop borrowing on their credit cards and for home loans, and businesses to stop issuing bonds to invest in their businesses, and then the economy goes into a recession. I think with the relatively tight labor market, the good side is that wages are going up. The bad side is that we're getting closer to sort of an inflationary environment.
Right.
If you look at tariffs, one of the number one things that tariffs will do is they're going to raise the prices of things at Target and Walmart and the dollar store, because most of those items are actually imported from overseas. And the reason why they can be less expensive than they, you know, think about a flat screen TV. Flat screen TV is cheaper today than it was 10 years ago, and it's 3 times the size and it has 10 times the features.
Right.
That's because of the ability to sort of import those components, import those from cheap labor countries. And so if we put tariffs up, that's going to be inflationary. That's going to reduce the standard of living for people that are living in fixed incomes and be negative. So it doesn't mean the party's going to end tomorrow, but what it does mean is we're getting closer to the end of the party, right? So if it's a baseball game, we're probably in the 7th inning at this point as opposed to the 6th, and that makes the market a little bit jittery.
Jim Kahn is the Chief Investment Officer at Wealth Enhancement Group, and we're going to call you just to say hi next time, Jim.
On the good
days. You know what? I would appreciate it. When it's so cloudy and gross today, call me sometime when it's sunny and warm, and then we can have a really good conversation about how the market's doing well.
That's a good idea.
We'll give you about 6 months, 7 months.
I'll talk to you before that.
Jim, thank you. Thanks, guys. For your perspective.
Isn't that funny, though, what he said? You know, the flat-screen TVs are cheaper than they are. Cheaper than they were 5-7 years ago, and they're bigger, better, and that's totally true.
Yeah, but when you anything you buy, and when you walk out the store, it's already obsolete.
Yeah,
right. And that's a little sobering because things are changing and improving
that's so fast. That's true.
So you still have that built-in obsolescence, but that's progress, right?
I'm pretty happy with my TVs. They're many years old, but I'm okay with it.
They still work.
I don't need to get another one unless new TVs are doing something I don't know about, like the dishes or the laundry.
You still got 600 channels. There's still nothing to watch.
On, I know.
Right.
My default HGTV.
Although I was up at the cabin this weekend and ESPN wasn't working. Of all the channels with college football.
Then.
Really?
Yeah.
No ESPN?
That's trouble.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, that was a good talk. I do feel better. It is 519. When we get back, hear what Hillary said, hear what Mitch McConnell said, and two local lawmakers got into the incivility mix. We'll share that story, and we'll open up the phone lines on CCO.
Congratulations, you won $1,000.
Wow, that's pretty exciting. That's great.
Have you been texting the words for a long time, or have you just started?
Oh, kind of off and on, and haven't been up with it, but kind of got a shot at it. Sure. Unbelievable.
Do you know how you're going to spend $1,000? Are you going to do something fun with it?
I don't know yet, but probably, yeah, some fun and some practical stuff. So.
Yeah. cool. That's awesome.
It can happen.
That was Steve from Mendota Heights, who won the keyword for cash on this very show yesterday. Steve Mazel Tov. And I know he was caught off guard with how to spend $1,000, but hey, we want to hear the goods.
It's a nice problem to have.
Yeah. So it can happen. It is a national contest, but we will have your next keyword for cash at 5:50. So do stay tuned to this show. It can happen. You can be a winner.
And he's not the first. There have been other local winners.
There have been. Absolutely. There have been.
So.
Okay. So now we're going to talk a little politics. We're going to talk a little kindness, and if there is any left. We have a little Hillary Clinton, Mitch McConnell back and forth. And then we also have a local issue that happened that I'm going to tell you about. But let's start with Hillary. This is what she said last night on a talk show.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength.
Wow. So you can only be civil if you're a Democrat? I disagree, ma'am.
Really?
I disagree. Are you shocked that I disagree with Hillary? I'm surprised you said it.
Well, I'm just your overall demeanor.
Well, could you possibly agree with what she said?
No.
Okay.
No.
But come, that's no. Part of the problem. She's not being part of the solution. The solution is we got what we got. Let's try to figure it out. Because it's, yes, the Republicans have control of everything. Work with them. Because at some point, the Democrats are going to have control. And you want the Republicans to work with you. We've gone too far left and right. And that was not helping.
Jor, I'm right. You're the enemy.
We can't. But see, Paul, you and I and the listeners don't think like that yet. We have people in power, although Hillary's not. She's like, I don't know, doing a speaking tour. She doesn't have any power anymore.
She's still not president? Wait, I'm writing this down.
She's still not president. No, she's still lost. Okay. We have comments like this. And so many people look up to Hillary Clinton. Absolutely.
It's throwing gasoline on the fire. And the fire doesn't need to get any bigger.
Why would you say that? So, of course, here's Mitch McConnell responding to that right now.
Earlier today, former Secretary of State Clinton sent this signal as clear as today. This is Secretary Clinton. Here's what she said. You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for. If we're fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. No peace until they get their way. More of these unhinged tactics. Apparently, this is the left's rallying cry.
Again, Hillary's not in power. I don't know that it's the left's rallying cry. I think that was Hillary. But boy, it's gotten worse, Paul. It hasn't gotten better.
People in power exercise that power. You want to change the system? Get off your butt and vote.
So what would you say to our leaders? What would you tell Hillary? What would you tell Mitch McConnell? Our phone number is 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. And I don't want to hear that it's all one side's fault or this, because everybody is joining in this game. This happened. Do I have time to play this right now? This happened last night at President Trump's rally in Iowa.
Right. How about Senator Feinstein? That's another beauty. That's a beauty. Did you leak the documents? Well, no. She goes, no. He just said, no, we didn't leak.
They're yelling, lock her up. Well, for all the people that were screaming about due process for Judge Kavanaugh, where's the due process for Senator Feinstein? Lots of questions. 651-989-9226. Share your answers when we get back on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hillary, Mitch, chance of locker up. It's getting worse, my friends. What would you tell your party leaders, your senators, your legislators in the House? What do you want them to know? Kathleen's in Elk River. Hey, Kathleen, thanks for calling in.
Hi. I'm commenting on Hillary's comment about civility.
Yes, yes.
And it just strikes me that that she is saying that other people are to blame for her behavior, for the Democratic Party's behavior, when all that they were doing basically with Kavanaugh was trying to get him to say that something was his fault, and yet they're saying their behavior is not their own fault. It's the Republicans' reason why they are not civil.
I think she was saying that how can we be civil with a party, meaning the Republican Party, that wants to destroy everything we stand for? That's what she was saying, which is, I mean, in my opinion, I mean, really a challenging thing to listen to.
But the Republican Party is in power because more people voted for Republicans.
Yes. So we need to accept that and work together to get some stuff done.
To find common ground for the common good?
Yes. Yeah, and Hillary saying this does not help. You're not part of the solution if you're exacerbating this problem. Ed's in St. Paul, graciously waiting on the line. Hey, Ed, chime in here.
Well, if I had an opportunity to talk to the two leaders, McConnell and Clinton, I would say two words. I'd say term limits.
Mm.
I mean, what the I mean, we've got a ruling elite in this country between the Clintons and the Bushes, and now Chelsea Clinton's starting to dip her toes in the water as well. Do we want another 20 or 30 years of these families running our country? I don't. And and you look in the Senate. You've got people that have been in one form or another in the Congress for 15, 20, 30 years.
That's forever.
It's a career.
Their primary concern is, A, getting reelected, and B, getting their colleagues reelected so they can stay in power.
It's true. Ed, great call.
If there were term limits, I think more would get done effectively.
Can't disagree with that.
Yeah,
I think
you're
right,
Ed. Thank you.
One of our listeners had a really thoughtful text. Let me see if I can find this. The problem is both parties are run by unelected executives. The political parties are huge businesses, and they only get bigger by sowing conflict and pointing out differences with the other. It costs so much money to run an election campaign. Candidates must stay in good favor with the party to get the money. So the conflict is being fueled by the business of political parties. It is a stain on our republic and a disgrace. People need to wise up before the party bosses ruin our country.
But that's, I think we have. I'm hearing the listeners. I'm listening to the texters. I mean, we're preaching that every day. We need to, I guess, almost lead by example as the people. We, the people, need to show them we don't want these antics. This is a bunch of bull. You guys need to work this out. Like you tell your kids, work it out.
Time out.
651-989-9226 is our number. What would you like to tell your elected officials in this era of this public discourse of incivility? What do you want them to hear from your mouth?
Comes back to campaign finance reform, too. I think what Ed said.
That's a big one.
What's the primary mission of any politician? To stay in office. Mm-hmm. And serving your constituents is further down the list, right? I'm going to do whatever I have to do to stay in power because it costs so much for me to get this position. I'm going to stay here.
651-989-9226. Michael's in Big Lake. Hey, Michael, thanks for waiting on the line.
Hi, you guys. Really appreciate your show. I listen every day.
Thank you.
Well, you know, the comment I was, you know, I get frustrated because you talk about maybe that statement that Ms. Clinton had said, and it just plays again to the left-right paradigm of which we're presented with. Our system of electing people has become really a separate, two separate governments, it appears at times now. So whichever government we want to vote in, it's either the left or the right.
Yeah.
And these are the only things we have to choose from. And so it's frustrating when you're having a conversation with somebody. So look, I'm kind of the middle of the road on some things, so I might sound conservative on one thing and maybe liberal on another, according to whoever's defined that. And so now in the conversation, it can become a little bit, oh, you're a liberal, aren't you? Well, no, I'm not.
Right.
Or you're a Democrat, or you're a Republican, or you're a conservative. Oh, you're a Trumper. No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
What he said was good, but I disagree with some other things that he said.
Right.
And these are the things that's dividing the country, at least this sort of dogma that goes back and forth. And the parties control everything. And so an independent who wants to run, you've got no hope because of the dollars that have to be put forth and backed up by whatever party you're affiliated with. And that's the frustrating thing for me. And this divisive politics, this is going to continue to go on, I think, forever until we change it to say we don't have a divided nation anymore. we have one country with people with differing opinions. And I would vote for a Democrat. I would vote for a Republican. Mm-hmm. That, especially in Minnesota, I like our state. I can vote cross party lines at times on different things to say, well, I want this person, I want that person. But why do I have to choose Republican or Democrat? I think that's dumb.
Michael, good call. Michael, good. We appreciate it. We want to get a couple of more
insight.
Calls.
Thank you, Michael.
But he's absolutely right. And he's right about the fact that if you have a conversation with somebody and you say, well, I believe this or I would like to see this about healthcare, they immediately label you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a lunatic liberal or you're a far right-wing conservative.
You're a rabid right-wing.
I mean, boom. Like, people go there and it's like, wow, you have just
We like to label. And what is that about the human brain? We crave shortcuts, right?
Yeah.
Rather than thinking this through, we immediately jump to conclusions.
That honestly should be a personal gut check. If you find yourself labeling someone, you should do a personal gut check to be like, okay, I need to open my mind a little bit more because maybe they have something else, another opinion in there.
I'd vote for you, Jordana.
Oh, please. No, I would never run for public office. That would be pure insanity.
You have too many skeletons in your closet, too. Oh, boy. That would be interesting.
Yes. Sharon. Hey, Sharon, thanks for calling in, love. What would you tell our lawmakers?
Number one. Something that everybody has basically said, okay, I'm really old. So like when I was a sophomore in high school, I mean really old, like I'm in my 70s, term limits was discussed as a very viable and desirable option for our government. So as the gentleman said prior, that would be a good idea. And also the other thing that was discussed, and that was 60 years ago, was something that people should also consider is, when you originally, if people read history and studied it, would know that you were an honorable person when supposedly, mm-hmm. when you were a politician, mm-hmm. and you would only stay in office 2 terms, whatever. And when you left office, you left office. You didn't leave office, even if you were president, with all the accoutrements that they presently get,
mm-hmm.
and all the extra pork barrel items, I call them. Big pork, because everybody who goes into office, I don't know.
They cash out, right? They get out. They get out of office. They cash out. They become consultants.
Paul.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Shannon. Great point. Great. You made us think, Sharon. Thank you. Great job.
And the other thing.
Oh, go ahead.
As you said, why don't we have middle of the roaders?
We need those.
Why don't we have middle of the roaders like we used to have a long time ago? You weren't Republican. You were Republican and Democrat, but you also strived to get along and make people cooperate, and that has been lost.
Yeah.
Our country is just headed down a real bad path unless the people, like you said, have to vote and change things.
The common
Sharon
sense,
for president.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon. The common sense moderate middle. You wonder at some point, will the pendulum swing back towards the middle?
It has to.
Where we vote for people versus parties.
Or common sense, or understanding that we have to work together. And not everybody is going to get everything they want.
No, you never do. So get over it.
Because you know what? The electorate understands that, lawmakers. We get that you're going to have to bend a little bit. So bend.
Andy, one of our listeners wrote in, I think the opinion about parties is part of why Trump won. He didn't need the party and thumbed his nose at it through the nomination and largely through the election. I have to agree with that.
Well, that's why he won. I think maybe we're rethinking that decision. Some people who voted for him might.
But a lot of people said, is he really a Republican? Does it matter?
Well, no, he was a Democrat most of his life. So, yeah, that's a good point. Mark's in Minneapolis. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling in, love.
Hey, I agree with what the woman said a few minutes ago about the middle of the roaders. Yeah. I kind of consider myself in that same vein. But I think the big problem is ideology. People get so hung up on their extremes, and that's their go-to. It's their default mode, their fallback. And most of us, most Americans, I think, live life not on the black or the white, but we live in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
That's where life is, and I think our politicians and certainly the general public in dealing with political things has lost sight of that gray.
I think you're right. The people in power have lost sight of the gray, but you, Mark, haven't. I haven't. Paul hasn't. Dan hasn't. I think regular sane people haven't.
People just want stuff to get done. Let's just move the needle. Mm-hmm. Let's advance things. Let's make things better.
This is why immigration is still a huge problem today, because they have kept kicking the can down the road because nobody wants to budge at all. And maybe we as the electorate are part of the problem here. We elect people and expect you have to stick to every single campaign promise. You said you were going to do this and then you did a different thing.
You're not allowed to change your mind.
Right. On the surface, that looks like a bad thing. But maybe we all need to take a step back and say, all right, this person had to do it. We elected him for the ideas, but we also have to understand stuff needs to get done. And we as the electorate maybe need to understand we're not always going to get our way. Great conversation. Thank you for having it with us. And we know you sane people are out there. It's just the ones running the country that have gone completely nuts. We're glad you're out there.
Amen, sister. Preach.
It's also 548. That is a Wicks and Jewelers time check. Wicks and Jewelers, I'm on the wrong page. Hold on. Let me get the right copy. Oh, boy. Got wrapped up in the conversation. Wicks and pays you more for your used watch. Trade it in for your current watch towards the watch of your dreams at Wicks and. You're leaving me?
I love you, but I'm leaving.
He's leaving. He's running out the door.
I have to catch a jet aeroplane. Going to see Dad. Going to see Falker. More tales, war stories from the end of World War II, which I think and many listeners think are as relevant, timely today as they were back then. So that's tomorrow, 3:10 to 3:45. And
he's our best segment. So Falker is going to be on with Paul for almost an hour.
Saving my butt again.
Yeah, he's great. Okay, go catch your plane.
You behave.
Good job. Be nice to everybody on the road.
I'll try.
Okay. If you see Paul out there, don't run him off the road. Just to put a little bow on this conversation that we're having, the civility. You know, Hillary Clinton made a ridiculous statement that they can't compromise with the Republicans, and the Republicans are trying to destroy everything the Democrats stand for, which maybe only Hillary agrees with. And then, of course, Mitch McConnell came back at her. And then people were chanting, lock her up, about Dianne Feinstein at the president's rally last night. We've just come so far from being a community, and we've come so far from the we the people. So the question was, what do you want to tell your elected officials? Because clearly from your calls, they don't speak for you. They're not speaking your language. The text here, hey guys, the problem is both parties are run by unelected executives. The political parties are a huge business, and they only get bigger by sowing conflict. Wow. That's a, you know what? I get it. And I do believe that campaign finance reform would change a lot of this. If somebody runs on campaign finance reform, I think that'd be a great platform. Let's see. This text says, what should be done with Cory Booker and Maxine Waters with respect to them urging their followers to get in the faces and hassle Republicans? No, it's not okay. It's not okay. None of that is okay. And I don't think any regular person would say those statements are okay. And I really have a lot of respect for Cory Booker, Jersey guy, Jersey girl. But I think he made some really inflammatory statements, and I really think he shot himself in the foot, especially with respect to how he handled this Kavanaugh confirmation. He said even before the trouble with Dr. Ford that he was going to do everything he could to block his confirmation. So no, that's part of the problem. But you know what? Both parties are guilty, and it's only going to change until they hear about it from you. That's it. Let's see. Jor, I think the new normal going forward will be voting almost 100% along party lines and no cooperation of the good people. I hope it's not. I hope it's not. I really hope it's not. Someone said, I like what you two are preaching tonight. I know we are kind of on our soapbox. Because when I heard those comments by Hillary, I was disgusted by it. And I know you are, too. And it's okay that we call out our she's not elected. I mean, our whatever people in politics, when we think something they say is not okay, even if you normally vote their party, that's okay to disagree. I wish our politicians, no matter what party they're from, would realize when their ads are on so full of victory against their opponent, it does no good. Makes me not want to vote for them. Lots more text, but not enough time. Thanks for engaging in the conversation. Thanks for being open-minded. Falker is on tomorrow. You are going to love to hear what he has to say. And, of course, we'll recap the damage from Michael. Thank you, Dan Cook. We'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.